Let's have a word of prayer first. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just fill this place, fill our hearts, as we learn, Lord, to listen to your word. We pray that the recap and also the learning of the new words will help us to understand the Bible better. And then, Lord, to have that personal relationship we need with you so badly. We thank you. Speak to us. May the Holy Spirit be the teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so once again, coming to sin. Sin is a breaking of God's law. And I just want to emphasize this a little bit. When you read the Bible and God convicts you about your life and we do it, that is fulfilling God's law and that is obedience. But when we choose not to do it, that is sin. And it's very hard nowadays to tell people that you have sinned. And if you don't come to church, you have sinned. And to people, it's like, who are you to judge me? But the Bible says sin is a breaking of God's law. And that is the position as Christians we need to take. When God's law is compromised and transgressed and broken, it is sin. There's no two ways about it, all right? And God gives us his grace and his strength to live the Christian life. That's what we've been talking about for the many, many weeks, about the Holy Spirit helping us. But we have to understand, when we fall short of God's word, when God says to do this, when God says to forgive, and God says to be faithful, and we don't, that's sin. All right? Because one day when we stand before God, we can't give any excuse to God. Agree? We cannot give any excuses to God. So let's be very clear. Sin is a breaking of God's law. Everything that's mentioned in God's word, whether by actual commandment, whether by principle. For example, I believe very strongly that if we smoke, we sin, because the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're breaking God's principles, okay? And so it's for us to be very clear. That's why as Christians, we need to know God's word, all right? That's the purpose of the afternoon Bible discipleship. I strongly encourage everyone here to be there, right? It's also a falling on God's standards and going our own way. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Right? So that is sin. Isaiah 14, sin came into the world through the devil's heart, pride. Sorry. Sin came into the world through Satan's heart, into the universe. Sorry, into the whole universe. All right? That's why the entire universe is corrupted by sin. But sin came into the world, this world, by Adam. Romans 5:12. Right? All the different words about sin. Okay? So how many people have sinned? All have sinned. And what is the Bible's description of man's condition? We are evil continually. We are evil continually. Okay? And what are the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. Okay, today we're going to look at just a couple more words. We're going to look at the flesh first. Let's turn. I'll get different people to read, all right? I haven't given you the key points yet, but maybe I'll get Jeremiah, if you can take Luke 24, verse 39, and then Brother Joshua, I'll just randomly throw 1 Corinthians 1, 29, then if Jaira, you can take Matthew 26, 41, then all of us, we can turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Okay. The flesh in the Bible is used in four different ways. So when we read, we must be very clear, what on earth is the author of the book talking about? Okay? So in Luke 24, verse 39. Okay, Jesus appeared to the disciples in Luke 24, 39. And he said, look at me. And the spirit have not flesh and bones. Okay? So the first way flesh is used is the bodies of men and animals. We have to be very clear. When we read, okay, is it talking about the body of men or animals? So Jesus says, spirit have not flesh and bones. So it's referring to our actual bodies. Okay, the next one, 1 Corinthians 1, 29. That no flesh may glory in his presence. The next one is a general reference to all of men. Okay, no flesh. all flesh shall see him. In other words, the whole of humankind, 整个世界, everyone will see him. So flesh can refer to all of men. Next one is Matthew 26:41. Lao. 26:41. Huh? Oh, you say no, that is the verse. Okay. Oh, you saw that there's no. Okay. What? Watch and pray. What? The flesh is weak, right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The next reference is referring to the weakness of human nature. Jesus told the disciples, why don't you all watch and pray? You know why sometimes we fall asleep when we pray? It's because we are tired. We are weak. And that's the weakness of the human flesh. Okay, so flesh can also refer to the weakness of the human nature. Romans 7:18, let's all turn there. We've been talking about that over the last few weeks. I'll just read, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Okay, Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, inside of me, okay, all of us have dual natures. We're not schizophrenic, okay, but we have the old nature. Okay, this flesh refers to the fallen sinful nature. Fallen sinful nature, all of us have that. And there are some Christians who are teaching that you can be so close to God that it doesn't affect you. Oh, you're walking in your flesh, that's why you can't do that. I've got news for us, as you look at the scriptures, there's a very, very wrong thinking in Independent Baptist churches today, Singapore and around the world, about what it means to live in the spirit, okay? But we'll look at the flesh first, because that's our goal today, all right? So the flesh is used in four ways, all right? Those are the references. Okay, lessons about the flesh in the Christian life. These four key lessons is so important, because all of us will fall under this one of these four. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5:16. The first point is, the flesh is still present with us after salvation. Galatians 5:16. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? The Bible is clear. When Paul was talking to the Galatian Christians, he's talking to them, look guys, you need to walk in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the way I say it to you, do you realize that there's actually two persons fighting inside of you? Okay? The old Adamic nature, the old sinful flesh is still with us after we get saved. That's why Christians fall into sin. That's why Christians, I don't want to come to church, I'm very lazy. Or, I got something important I need to do, I can't do this first. Or, I can't serve God because I need to do this. That's the flesh. That's old fallen nature. Because the fallen nature has its own ambitions, it has its own desires. And sometimes the old ambitions and desires overtake what God clearly says. Okay? And this is so vital for us to understand as Christians. The flesh is still present after salvation. Next one. Galatians 5:17. Notice there's an enemy. It's an enemy. The flesh is an enemy inside of you. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. We all have an enemy inside of us. There are some Christians who are not serving God today. It's not because they're spiritual. It's because they're in the flesh. They're living in the flesh. And they are catered to the flesh so much, the pleasures of the world so much, that it captures them. The Bible is clear in Galatians 5:17. He says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. That means the flesh craves for things that is against what God wants. But the spirit, notice, it doesn't lust. It's just the spirit is against the flesh. Okay, so there's this big battle, wrestling ring inside of every one of us. And these two are contrary one to the other. Have you seen two wrestlers? Well, sometimes, I think some of you may have watched World Wrestling Federation. It's like they want to kill one another. Well, that's exactly it. You know, every one of us has a fighting match inside of you. Everyone, there's a war inside of every Christian. And this is something we have to understand. When we keep living, let me just finish this first. These two are contrary one to the other. The flesh will not give in to the spirit, and the spirit will not give in to the flesh. That's why, guess who makes the decision? Who wins? Remember I said before? We. God gave us the free will inside of us to say, look, I'm going to follow the spirit of God. I don't feel like going to church today, but you know what? That's the right thing to do. I'll follow it. I make the decision. God gave us the free will. There's some Christians who decide that they're going to sleep in a bit longer, miss Sunday school. When you yield to the flesh, before long you become the servant of the flesh. There are some Christians who are so in the flesh, they don't even recognize it anymore, okay? So these are contrary one to another. Notice the last part. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You know you need to do it, but you have no power to do that. You know why? You're too much in the flesh. You're too much in the flesh. You live so much in the flesh. Bolat liao, no strength to even do what is right, okay? So the flesh is the enemy within. We fight it every day. One evangelist put it this way. You know, the first battle we fight in the morning is against the flesh. When the alarm clock rings and you know you have to get up, but you don't feel like getting up. And then, you know how they help you? Press the snooze button. Okay, the snooze button is, okay, just press one time, then 5 more minutes, it rings again. 5 more minutes, it rings again. You know, sometimes you're so tempted. You're just, ayo, today the weather's so cooling, you know. I still got to go to work. Never mind, 10 more minutes. Psh. How many of you have 10 more minutes you press, and then suddenly you wake up 1 hour before, after? I did, yeah. I pressed, I usually try to get up about 5 plus. But sometimes I'm so tired, and after I just go, okay, I just wait. Well, boom, 3 hours pass. Slack. Maybe I'm tired, maybe God just wants me to rest. But that's, we fight the flesh every day, okay? The flesh is the enemy within. The next one, this is so important. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. This is so important. Your flesh is not removed in this life. Your flesh is not removed in this life. How good it will be if it is, amen? That when Jesus saved us, Lord, you take away the flesh, but unfortunately, that's not reality. But you know what? God has clear lessons for us even in that. In 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2, let's read together, ready? 1, 2, begin. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If you notice in verse 1, Peter was talking to Christians. Number one. Number two, he is not talking about the sins of the flesh. Sins that you can see. You know, if you read the epistles of Paul, you'll find that Paul talks about fornication, he talks about covetousness, he talks about idolatry, all the outward forms of sin, because the Gentiles have no law to govern them. So they do all these outward things, and Paul has to teach them, stop your idolatry, stop your stealing, stop your laziness. You need to get back to work. But Peter writes to the Jews. The Jews are very religious people. So a lot of things, they don't worship idols. They know they're not supposed to steal. But what does Paul say? Well, what does Peter say? You deal with the sins of the spirit. Talking about hypocrisy, talking about malice, talking about envies and evil speaking. So what Peter is generally saying, that you group of Jewish Christians, outwardly you may be fine, but that you're still in the flesh. Because sometimes you still speak evil against people. You still have evil intention against people. You still have hypocrisies against people. Do you know people in independent Baptist churches or churches who are strict? You know, a lot of them will conform to the outward. They will follow. But deep within their hearts, they are backslidden. It's a sin of pride, the sin of selfishness, the sin of going our own way. And so this is what Peter is trying to drive at. We have the flesh, okay? And then, therefore, in verse 2, we, as newborn babes, we need the sincere milk of the word so that we can grow and overcome it. Okay, any questions there? All right, the last one. This is so important. Let's go back to Galatians 5:16. We read that. Let's turn to, let's look at Galatians 5:16. The Bible says what? Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is an important truth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. Let's read together, ready? One, two, go. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Did you see the three words? I die daily. I die daily. This is a truth that every Christian sitting here listening to must hold on to. Every morning, Paul says, before I even step out of my house or to preach the gospel, I need to die to myself. One evangelist put it this way: we need a funeral for self every morning. We need to die to ourselves every morning. It's a daily fight. A daily, daily fight. Have you ever had good days in the Lord and not so good days in the Lord? Why? I thought I was spiritual already. And there's this thinking in fundamental Baptist Christians that, well, once you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have victory on the Lord and la 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 and joy in the Lord. Paul says you must die daily. It's a daily battle. That's why I'm not surprised when people serve one time, after 1 year they walk out on God. Why? Because they did not die to themselves. The secret of the Christian life for Jesus to live through us is that we die. We give up the right to live our own life every single day. That is the only remedy against the flesh. There are some Christians haven't served God for more than 5 years now, 10 years, 15 years. And they think they're spiritual. No, they're not. They've not died to the flesh. Because when you talk to them, you show them the word of God, they don't want to listen. You know what we need to do every morning? When we get up, the first thing we need to do is to get down on our knees and tell God, God, I died to myself. Lord, not my will today. So everything is all you. Every single morning when we get up, we need to tell ourselves, God, I died to myself. Lord, I'm not going to be angry anymore. I can get angry, but I choose not to. Lord, I don't forgive, but I won't. I will obey you. I will forgive. God, I don't feel like reading your word, but I die to myself. I will read your word. But Brother Johnny, if your heart's not in it, you can't do it. You know what that is? The lie from hell. I say again, there are some Christians who believe that if my heart is not in it, I shouldn't do it. You know what the Bible teach? When the Bible is very clear about a certain instruction, we don't need to pray about it. We just need to prayerfully obey it with God's strength. There are some Christians who has been deceived by this, thinking, oh, if my heart's not in it, it means I need God to change my heart. The way God changes your heart is through obedience. It is through obedience. Simple illustration. You know, some people, well, I like to eat ice cream. Maybe I just share a little bit. I haven't had coffee. I just had coffee this morning. But I haven't had coffee for the last 2.5 weeks. I only sporadically, because I have to cut out the caffeine and the things in my... You know, initially it's like, you're very tempted to go back to the coffee, you know. It's like, okay, water got no taste one. But water is the best, amen. Because that's what God gave us to replenish. Then I started reading, okay, what if you drink more water, it actually keeps your cells, and you just seep out, hydrated, okay? It actually gives you more alertness and all that. You know, after the first 3 days, like, but never mind, okay? I drank water, my wife knows about it. And so occasionally, I think I only had 3 or 4 coffees over the last 3 weeks. You need to take care of yourself too. But you know, the first few days was tough. My heart wasn't in it all the time. There are some Christians who only do when their heart's not in it. When you know it's clear in the scriptures, and we don't do it, that's sin. And many Christians have fallen for the lie, as long as my heart's not in it, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite. No, you're not a hypocrite. You're just being an obedient Christian. That's what the Bible teach. That's the flesh. The flesh will lie to you and say, you don't feel anyway. Even if you do it, you're a hypocrite, right? No, you're not. You're obedient. Jonathan, do you like to do your homework all the time? No, right? But do you do your homework anyway? Sometimes. Okay, he's honest. But if you don't do your homework, what happens? The teacher scolds you, right? Do you know why God actually wants us just to be obedient? Because he wants to train us to deny the flesh. Okay? Any questions? It's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. Right, Johnny, it's very tough. It's a daily choice. It's something that we have to put up with for the rest of our lives until we see Jesus. When once and for all, God will remove the flesh and we don't have to worry about it anymore. But in the meantime, I don't know whether I'm jumping the gun, but I'll let you know why God puts the flesh in us until we die? It's to teach us to walk by faith, not by sight. To teach us to follow His will rather than our will. To teach us to follow a heavenly wisdom rather than what we personally think. Two aspects of the flesh are Galatians 5:24. Let's just turn back there. Galatians 5:24. Any questions? Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections. And if you're a Christian, it means, remember, I preached about at the cross. It was at the cross that Jesus Christ dealt once and for all the control of the flesh over our lives. We still have the flesh. Before we were Christian, the flesh controlled us all the time. But at the cross where we met Jesus, Jesus dealt the death blow to sin. And sin no longer can control us. And so now the flesh has lost. But you know, the flesh will keep on fighting back. Kind of like in the Philippines right now. In the Philippines, I think the ISIS have lost Marawi. Yes, they've lost Marawi, but are they still fighting? The terrorists are still fighting, even though they've lost. But it will still keep on disturbing. Why? Hoping to gain control again. That's what the flesh is trying to do. Okay? So there's two aspects of position. In Christ, our flesh has been crucified. But in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Why? So that we don't do the things in the flesh anymore. Last time I used to get angry easily, but because I'm going to trust Christ and die to myself, I'm not going to be offended easily. How do we have, how is the flesh overcome? We mentioned again and again, firstly, by submitting to the indwelling Holy Spirit. Actually, we're going to talk about it in biblical discipleship later on in the afternoon, about how do we demonstrate that we are led by the Spirit. The first thing is in the Bible. You need to know the Word and obey. Obedience to the Bible is the clearest indication that you are being led by the Spirit. There's this thinking that, no, I will take and then I'll make my decision whether it's right and wrong. The Bible is clear. We don't have to. We go with what the Bible says. Okay? The flesh is subdued when we submit to the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong. The Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong. Number two, the flesh is subdued by minding the things of the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5. Let's turn there. Romans 8 and verse 5. The Bible says, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, what are things of the flesh that we mind? That this world minds. What are the fleshly things that this world minds? What are some things? Money? Okay. Hobbies? Yeah, what else? What else? Huh? Career? Fame? These are things of the flesh. These are things of this world. And when we put our heart on that, we are minding the things of this world. And the Bible says, they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Tell me whether The Bible is actually very clear. Your life will tell me whether you're walking in the flesh or in the spirit. What are the things of the spirit that we should be minding? What are things of the spirit that the Christians should be minding? Huh? Sorry? What? Huh? Lost souls is one thing, definitely. What else? God's word? God's work in our minds? It was such a blessing. There was one morning, I think a few days back. Sometimes I usually try to do my work at McDonald's about 4 a.m. in the morning. It was such a refreshing when four people came in, sat down, and they started to talk about the flesh and how they need to, and say, no, my flesh is very, and they were talking and sharing one another about the word of God. You know, our conversations need to revolve around God's word. Our conversations need to revolve around things that honor God. I give you a verse, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have success. As a Christian, God's word should be actually very important to us. If you are bored at God's word, you're in the flesh. If you don't like to hear what God says, you're in the flesh. Because the flesh won't want to mind the things spirit. That's why some people will just walk out halfway. They have no mindset that, oh, do you realize when you come into a place like this, to walk out, you are actually very rude to God? When the president of Singapore sits here, no one dare to talk. No one, everyone's handphone will be put to silent mode. No one will wear to, if you want to go to the toilet, you probably put up your hand, ma'am, can I go? Why is it that Christians take liberties in the church of God? When Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Why? Because we are not spiritually minded. When we mind the things of the flesh and the preaching is going on, we will have nothing else in our mind. I know it's hard. We will not be looking at Google. I have seen people, when the preaching is going, looking at Google. To me, that is absolute irreverence to a holy God who will hold us accountable at the day of judgment. When we are in the Spirit of God, we will mind the things of God. A person that doesn't mind, a person that minds that when a certain, like prayer meeting and all that, when it's not a priority, we're not minding the things of God. When we hold sin in our life, we're not minding the things of God. We're living in the flesh. The flesh is only subdued by minding things of the Spirit. Okay? I'll just go on first. The flesh is subdued by not making provision for it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 13, 14. I know I was cutting a bit close, but I think for us who have come for Sunday Bible Hour, I hope this teaching will make you stronger in your reverence for God. And this is important. We live in a day that people don't reverence our God anymore. But let it not be any Christian who will not reverence God. Okay? So, in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says, let's read together. 1, 2, go. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. How do we make provisions for the flesh? Well, what does it mean to make provision for the flesh? In other words, make provision for the flesh means, I know I like this. And example, if some of you have made a decision to delete all your, it's a bit harder right now to delete all your K-pop and all that. But you can still do it, okay? Some people say, I was dealing with one person and he was dealing with a whole area of smoking. And there was one time I sat down with him, okay, just give me all your cigarettes, I'll destroy for you. He gave me all his cigarettes. Okay, after that, I asked him, do you have any more? He honestly stood up, go to a place, and took out those things and passed it to me. They asked, do you still have any more? No, what he was doing? making provision for the flesh. I go and hide all these things so I can use it later. When we make provision for the flesh, it's when we do things in secret. When we do certain things, we don't want anyone to know. Why? You know, it just reminds me of Adam and Eve. When they sin, they don't want God to know, as if God doesn't know. You know what God says? You can control the flesh by saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know what I did? 一刀两断, once and for all, you cut off. You know, for some of you who have friends, you know, there are two things that will change you. Your books, the books that you read, and the friends that you mix with. I was talking to a youth who came yesterday. I told him point blank, if you will not leave your friends, you will continue in the condition you're in. Because sometimes friends is a downfall of some people. And God says, the way we deal with the flesh is you have to cut off. You know, there was one lady, she had, I think, some difficulties in her body, and so you went to the doctor and you realized that, I think there was some disease in her leg, and then they realized, and she was in Indonesia, I think. What happened was, the doctors actually told her, it was a failed operation. There was some infection going on. And the doctor actually told her, the only way to save your life is to cut off the leg. For 3 days, she struggled. I said, okay, if you're going to save my life, I'll just cut off the leg. And she did. And cutting off your leg won't kill you, you know. In fact, Jesus says, if our eyes offend us, pluck it out. Wow, Brother Johnny, that sounds a bit gory. The Lord Jesus is not talking about it spiritually. Sorry, he's not talking about it physically. Some countries, they do that. Some religions, they do that. But Jesus is talking about it spiritually. If there's something that is stopping you from serving God, there's something that is causing you to sin, Jesus says, it is better for you to get rid of even your eye. Because eye is something important to us, right? You know what Jesus is saying? Even if it's the most important thing in your life and it is stopping you from serving God, dig it out. Dig it out. Because it is better for you, Jesus said, to enter into life without your eyes. Amen? I'd rather be in heaven without my eyes. I'd rather be... And anyway, there's no blind people in heaven. Jesus was using an exaggeration. There's no blind people in heaven. Amen? Jesus will touch our eyes, you will be healed. But Jesus said, it is better for you to take out your eyes and go to heaven with... How many of you rather go to heaven without eyes than go to hell with two eyes? I don't know about you. I know Angel Gabriel is there to help me find my way around. Amen? I know Jeremiah and the good people, Gideon, all that, they will be there. And, hey, Brother Johnny, you can't see, never mind. Let me hold you. I will be able to drink of the river of life. I will be able to touch the child fruits every time. And the angel, I can still hear. Amen? I don't need my eyes. I can still hear. And anyway, Jesus will heal my eyes. You know what Jesus is saying? There's no blind people in heaven. What is he saying? He's saying, if your eyes is so important to you, but it's causing you to sin against me, get rid of it. So if your friend is bringing you downhill against God, you know the hard thing is, you need to separate from your friend. That's what the scriptures teach. But you know, Brother Johnny, that's a bit unkind. Well, you have a choice. Be unkind to men and incur the wrath of God. Your choice. Your choice. I'm telling you, let's walk in the Spirit. The reason why many Christians are no longer serving God is because, and this is hard truth, but this is important truth. We need to get rid of those things. We need to not give provision. We need to stop making excuses and say, well, you know, if we ever give a reason against why we cannot do right and wrong, no matter how valid it is, if it's against God's word, it is always, 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 always going to be wrong. Because God is always right. Amen? He is always right. And then sometimes, in our human thinking, it's so hard to understand, okay? So the last one, the flesh is subdued by not sowing to it, but sowing to the Spirit. This is important for us as Christians. But Brother Johnny, if I don't listen to those songs, what am I supposed to listen to? Well, the Bible says very clearly, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Galatians 6, verse 8. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Paul's very clear. If we don't read the Bible, but we read trash, we are sowing to the flesh. And you know what? The more you listen to the trash, the more you read the trash. Can I say anything that is, besides, I think your studies, and I'm not saying that no, there are not good materials that you can actually look at that may not be godly. For one example is classical music. But you know what? I was thankful during the youth camp last year, someone actually asked, Pastor, what about classical music? Can we listen to those? I said, yeah, sure you can. But you'll not grow spiritually listening to classical music. Because classical music is not designed for spiritual growth. Having said that, music lifts the soul towards God, but music doesn't help us grow in Christ. It is the Word of God that helps us to grow in Christ. Does it make sense? We have to be very, very clear. There are many Christians who love music and they listen to good music, but unfortunately, when they listen to good music, music is designed to lift the heart towards God. But you know what? Only the Word of God helps us to grow. The Bible is very clear. Okay, the Bible is very clear. Okay? Godly music helps to sanctify the spirit towards God, but it's only the Word of God put into the life that helps the person grow. There is no substitute for the Word of God. Okay? So in Galatians 6 and verse 8, when we read things that are of the world, when we have friends that are of the world, when all we talk about is the careers and the interests of this life, it's not going to help us grow spiritually. We have to stop deceiving ourselves. Just because you're with Christians doesn't mean those Christians will help you grow. The Bible says, I'm a companion of them that fear you. Psalm 119. 160, I believe. I'm a companion of these people that fear God. Now, young people, you need to have friends. You tell me what kind of friends you mix with now, and I'll tell you in 5 years whether you'll still be walking with God. You tell me what kind of books you read now. 5 years later, I can tell you now what you're going to be like as a Christian 5 years later. I'm just going by evidence, what the Bible teaches. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you know what it means to sow to the Spirit? You come for Sunday school, you come for Sunday service, you'll be there Friday night, you go out soul winning, you're sowing to the Spirit. You are, as you pray and say, Lord, I'm going because I love you. Lord, I'd rather stay home and watch this documentary. But God is not going to help me grow. I'm going out. I'm going to win some souls to Christ. I'm going to do this. And when you begin to choose to sow to the Spirit of God and the things of the Spirit of God, then we can grow. You know, there was one time I spoke to my pastor in Australia, and they say, oh, there's this certain person in sin, what should he do? You know, last time my pastor in Australia said, you know what he need to do? He need to get saved, he need to be baptized, he need to join the church, he need to be faithful serving God. I think, what a nut. I mean, you can't just force people to do all this, right? You know, now as a pastor, I see the wisdom of his words. All he was saying is this. He may not say it very nicely. He's very the cholo type. He just tell you straight and says, how to deal with your sin is to start sowing the Spirit. Start doing the things God wants us to do in obedience to Him, even when we don't feel like it. As parents, you force your children to do homework even when they don't feel like it. Why? Because you know it's good for them. You know it'll help them. Why is it that we resist God when God says forgive? God says be faithful. God says get rid of your ungodly friends. Why is it so hard? Because our flesh wants it. Plain and simple. Simple, our flesh wants it. And so the way to deal with the flesh, it says, no way, I'm not going to do that anymore. I think I shared with you what Brother Boon Siong shared before. Brother Boon Siong was, we need to pray for him. He's so busy that he has no time to go to church. We can contact him. But you know what he said? I think I just used his illustration. Some of you may have heard. He said, Pastor Johnny, I had to make a decision whether to go back to my gangster friends or not. The last time when I'm 31 years old, I made a decision, I'm not going back to my gangster friends. Because I know if I go back to my gangster friends, I'll end up in prison again. And praise God, when he did that, 1 week later, he got a job. 2 years later, he got married. And now he has a stable job and just get out of his life of gangsterism and sin. And of course, he still need to work a little bit on walking with God and all that. But you know what? God helped him out. Why? He made a decision. When you are led by the Spirit, it's a daily battle. You die on your knees. You have a funeral for self every day when you wake up. That I will not listen to my flesh. I will not listen to my flesh. I will not listen to my flesh. God, I wish I can listen to my flesh. I joke with my children sometimes. You know, sometimes some things get me very much. I say, I wish I was unsafe for 10 minutes. Well, of course I can't. I'm safe. And it's like, God, forgive me for my thoughts. You know, I'm sorry for that. We need to have a funeral every morning for ourselves. I'm going to die to my... And that's the only way you have victory over your flesh. If you are working with someone who may be in the flesh, someone who hasn't been walking with God and it's obvious they haven't been faithful, it's obvious they haven't been growing, it's obvious. The Bible diagnosed the problem. They're living in the flesh. There's so much in the flesh, they don't even... They want. Even if you encourage them to do right, they don't want. Why? There's so much in the flesh. They don't read the Bibles, they don't pray, they hate the... They just come to church for social fellowship. I hope all of us would be serious. Just now, for those who just came in, I made it very clear. It's a daily battle with the flesh. Just because one day you're walking right with God doesn't mean the next day you won't be. That's why people who can be very faithfully serving God one time start to deteriorate. You know, the clearest indication of a backslider, they will miss out Wednesday night in America. Then they'll miss out prayer meeting. And then they'll miss out Sunday school. And then they're out altogether. It's actually a trend. As a pastor, I note those trends and I'm concerned. Because I know somewhere along the line, the person is not making a decision for Christ. And so when you try to talk to them, they don't want to talk to you. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I'm thankful that you are very serious. I'm very serious about this. Because I think what we need to do every morning when you get up is to say, God, I die to myself. I'm not going to listen to myself today. I'm not going to listen to what I feel like today. Oh God, today is Sunday school. I need to go. Okay, Lord, I'll go. My heart's not in it, but I want to obey you, Lord. My flesh wants to stay home and do something else, but God, I'm just going to obey you. Parents, when you make a decision in the flesh, your children will follow suit. When you make decisions and say, it's okay not to do this spiritually, it's okay once in a while, we are actually setting the example for our children to live in the flesh. I've got to apologize to my children sometimes in the things I do. Say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that. My attitude was wrong. I was in the flesh. Because to live in the flesh is to reap corruption. Okay, any questions? We'll just stop there because, any questions? Because I believe our church needs that. We come here, but our mind is not on spiritual things. I want us to hear what God says and sow to the Spirit. Do the things that you know is right. And I used to believe if my heart's not in it, I shouldn't do it because I will be a hypocrite until the Lord convicted my heart. No, you're not a hypocrite. You're just being my obedient child. You're doing things that you didn't want to do, but you knew it was right. As a Christian, we do right because it is right. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. He didn't feel like it, Lord, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. But you know what? Immediately he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. 3 times he had to struggle. And you know what? He struggled alone. You will struggle to do right yourself. Christians can encourage you. The word of God can be preached to you. But the person that makes a decision to do right, despite the crowd,
you will win
with the help of the Holy Spirit. And can I say this? When you do right, all God, the Holy Spirit, can do is convict you of what is right. And finally, it's our decision to sign, yes, I will follow God. Can I say that again? That is the value of decision. As Christians, we are given this important task. You know why some Christians live in victory? Despite all the trials in their life, because all the difficulties in their lives, because they choose to put God first, because they choose to decide, because when they struggle between, should I or should I submit? You know, it's the flesh versus the Holy Spirit. But the Bible is very clear. Romans 6:16. Can you remember that verse? Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Guess who makes the decision? You. The Holy Spirit will tell you what is right. The Holy Spirit will not force you to do right. Because God wants us to give Him our hearts. Okay? Any questions? Okay. Any questions? For some of you, you are not wanting to receive Christ as your Savior. It's because you prefer the flesh. And I wonder why. Why would you listen to the flesh? If you're not a Christian, it will take you to hell. Why not accept what Jesus has and say, Lord, if you save me from my sin, I know it's going to be tough, but I thank you that you're going to help me. Why don't you just turn your heart over to God? For Christians, if you only mind earthly things in the flesh, God wants you to say, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you follow Christ? Walk in the Spirit. Do it daily. Okay, any questions? We'll stop there. So which means the quiz will be postponed one more week, but I want to finish the rest, actually 2 more weeks, because there's quite a number of words. But I think it's very important. And as pastor, I just want to say we need to be honest with ourselves, whether we're living in the flesh or the Spirit. And the evidence is, what are we doing with what God tells us to do? All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, let's try as much as I can to, by your grace, to expound your word. We see, Father, even in the lives of the apostles, in the life of the Christians, how they had to choose. And Lord, many times you ask questions. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, follow me. Many times you came to a place, you gave them a choice. You explained to them why it's better to trust in God than to put confidence in men. And that, Lord, as your people, we are asked to choose. You told us in Joshua 24 how that we need to choose this day whom we will serve. You use Elijah, 1 Kings 18. How long were you hot between two opinions? In the New Testament, Lord, you taught us to walk in the Spirit. It's a choice. You taught us to seek it first, the kingdom of God is a choice. And Lord, all these choices you gave us that we might learn to live by faith. I pray for someone here who's not a Christian that, oh God, help them to see the fact that they are here shows that you love them. You're still moving them along. And I pray they will obey your leading and they'll put faith in Christ and repent from their sin. But Lord, also, I'm asking you to help believers in Christ. Lord, listen to the Bible. Abandon things, Lord, that will cause them to continually walk in the flesh, that they might walk in the Spirit of God. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow later, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.